So part of this is paying attention to myself and pausing long enough to listen and be aware of where I find energy and where my energy is depleted. And look, no job is perfect. Every job, every relationship, whether it's personal or professional, is going to have its highs and lows in terms of energy. But we want to err on the side of finding energy boosters instead of energy depleters.
Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand, a former corporate executive turned transformation coach. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly to learn how they've managed or not managed to find the elusive boundaries and success in their career and what it really means to find balance. I am so excited to introduce this first guest to you. Mary Stitch and I worked together at a tech company based in San Antonio, Texas called Rackspace Technology. I was at Rackspace from 2007 to 2012. I went to go run a business with my husband and then I came back 2015 to 2018. So I was there a total of 7 years. I think Mary was there 10 or 11 years. We were there at the same time. And in our conversation, you'll hear references to Rackspace and you'll hear the term rackers, which is what we fondly call our employees. Mary was our vice president and deputy general counsel at Rackspace Technology, where she led a global team responsible for dispute resolution, litigation, and employment law, which is how we crossed paths during my time in HR. But she has been a mentor her entire career, and both formally and informally, and this is how I always viewed her. She helped design and launch a mentor circles program at Rackspace for Women in Tech in 2013. And designed and helped launch a mentor circle program at St. Mary's University for the School of Law in 2021. Mary has been a lawyer for 40 years and often has found herself on a hamster wheel around the clock, which you'll hear more about in her story. But Mary is also a mom. She has 9 brothers and sisters. And for many years, her career was a top priority. But more and more, she is finding that her true energy comes from relationship building and from nurturing authentic connections with people. Mary has received numerous accolades, and I will share her bio in the show notes, but I am most excited for you to hear the journey that she and I both share in finding ourselves again after decades of dedicating our lives to our careers. So without further ado, here is the inaugural episode for Authentic Energy with my very special guest, Mary Stitch. Enjoy. All right. Well, Mary, it is so good to have you here. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being one of my very first guests on our show today. Let's start by having you just share a little bit about your career path and then what you're doing today.
Thank you so much for having me, Wendy. I'm super excited to share our stories. I think that's what life's about, is how do we share our stories and help each other and energize each other with that. So I'm really delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
My career path, I'm a lawyer. I've been an attorney for over 40 years, unbelievably. And I would say that what I'm doing right now is, the best way to describe it is, I'm in recovery from burnout. And, you know, it's been an interesting journey. I was part of the Great Resignation. I quit my job a little over a year ago. And I am on a journey to figure out how to have a more balanced life, a more peaceful life, a life that's more broad and diverse, more rich in being than so focused on my job and my career. And I mean, it's hard. Let's face it, we're at our jobs. Most of us, most people in the world have jobs that are full-time, and we're doing those jobs most of our waking hours. Right? Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, and I have been on that very fast hamster wheel in a career for decades, and it's been fantastic. It's been rich. It's been rewarding. It's been hard. But I finally realized that the hamster wheel is not plugged in with someone else at the controls, right? Like, hamsters get on a hamster wheel and they actually can choose to get off and out of it.
Mm, so true.
I kind of forgot that I can control how fast I run and whether I jump off and take a break. So over my career of 40 some years, I have actually pivoted about four times. I've been in jobs about 8 to 10 years, not by design, but it seems like every 8 to 10 years, I get a nudge, just kind of an instinct that I have to pay attention to. That is usually me kind of walking out on the plank of being overwhelmed and overworked and allowing myself to be there and deciding that it's time to take a big break and a pivot and think about something new. And, you know, there's pivots along the way in our jobs and adjustments that we make to pace ourselves, pace the hamster wheel. But every now and then I've found that I have to jump completely out of that wheel, give myself a chance to reset and breathe and think about what my journey is going to be next. So that's kind of where I am. It's been bumpy, but it's good.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I feel like I have had a similar path with pivots, with jumping in, working, you know, just exhausting myself and then making a pivot for a fresh start. But I think also it's kind of been how I've defined success that's kept me on that hamster wheel for so long, before making a jump or pivoting. What is your definition of success, and has it changed over time? Has that caused you to pivot, or has that kept you on the hamster wheel?
You know, it's definitely changed over time. When I started out as a lawyer, I went to a big law firm, and the big law culture is all about what we call billable hours, which means that we had to keep track of our time really by the minute, because our time had to be gathered and put into an invoice that was sent to the client, right? So it was all about billable hours. We got measured based on billable hours, and there were expectations. And in fact, every month at the end of the month, there was a rating sheet for billable hours by person with your hours. And it wasn't the highest biller to the lowest. It was the lowest biller to the highest. So we would shine a light on the person with the fewest hours.
Wow.
Right. And way back in the day, and things have gotten better, but if you went on parental leave and you didn't have the same number of hours for the year as your colleagues, you were at the top of the list with the fewest hours. And if you were lucky, you could convince them to put an asterisk next to your name to explain that you were on mat leave. It was crazy. It was so incredibly fast pace, high pressure. Success was all about numbers. It was extremely political. It was hard to know who to trust. On the other hand, that was a great job for me. I did it for 10 years. I was a partner after 5 years. Never thought I wanted to do that job when I was in law school, but it was an extremely valuable learning experience. But success was about climbing the ladder, high billable hours, becoming a partner, generating business. And at that time, I was a mom of little kids. So, you know, it became increasingly difficult for me to make all of that work in a heartfelt way that was good for me and my family. And after 10 years, I left that job. And it was my first big pivot. And a lot of people told me I was making a huge mistake. But I left the job and I went work at St. Mary's, at my alma mater. So I have 2 degrees from St. Mary's, proud Rattler, proud alumna. And I went there to be a career coach at the law school. So it was a job I had no idea what I was doing. I had never done any coaching training, but the dean wanted a lawyer to coach the law students and give them inspiration and encouragement. And I did that job for about 8 years and loved it. And I will say every job I've had in my career has been the best job ever. Despite the bumps and the challenges and how success was defined, great opportunities to grow and learn. And as it evolved, figure out what success can really mean for me. Mm-hmm. You know, that it doesn't have to be all about the billable hours and the sacrifices that came with that, But in the coaching at the law school, I realized that relationship building and being helpful to people was more about my definition of success and what really brought me inner energy. It's like, wow, it wasn't just that the pressure was off. Like, we worked really hard at St. Mary's. But what I began to realize is that, and this is a Latin term that I learned as a lawyer, it's called quid pro quo. And it means something for something. For a contract to be enforceable, there has to be something on both sides, a payment for a car, right? It's a quid pro quo. What I realized in relationship building is that there's a real quid pro quo, a something for something. The energy I get by giving and helping was just a whole new way of thinking about success. So I loved that job. That was a big success for me. I did get burned out, and I did have an experience with a boss that led me to believe that I just can't work with everybody. I ended up, we were like oil and water in the end with a new boss. I didn't handle it well. I didn't make it work very well. I left the job and I got a job as an in-house lawyer in a corporation at Clear Channel, which is now iHeartMedia, biggest radio conglomerate in the world. And I began to experience the corporate world and figuring out how to find authentic success in a corporate environment where I wasn't billing time and I was able to build a team and build an opportunity for impact as a lawyer that was more about the relationship building with my in-house clients than it was about keeping track of time. So again, we worked hard, but we did it based on relationships and trust and how to figure out ways to move the needle and be mindful of compliance and law and all those things. And I was there for about 10 years, 9 or 10 years. At a certain point, I got the nudge. It was time to leave. And I've left now 3 jobs without having another job. So I'm very, really privileged and blessed that I've been able to do that financially. And a lot of people can't. But I would say that one word of advice would be try your best to be financially wise and get advice about how to build a little bit of a safety zone for yourself financially so that you can take a breather when it's important to do that for your mental health. Fast forward, I joined Rackspace. I was at Rackspace for about 11 years. Again, all about relationships. I didn't do it well my first year, and we can come back to that. But success for me is about finding the role and the team and the community that allows me to be helpful and bring my energy, because in turn, that brings me that quid pro quo, that something for something that fills my bucket.
Yes. And when we talked about, when we started talking about this podcast and I was getting excited about being able to take others on this journey as I'm learning, we had talked about the word burnout and that it didn't, you know, it just seems a little overused, right? We need to set boundaries and we don't want to burn out. And we were struck, we were kind of like, okay, what other language could we use to describe this? And you said, you know, it's really the depletion of energy. And I thought that was just spot on for me. Like as I, when I've experienced burnout, that's how I feel, like just my energy has been depleted. And so in each of those, would you say that's what you were feeling at each, you know, when you said you knew it was time? What does that feel like for you? Or what does depleted energy look like for you?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? The words we use. Mm-hmm. And part of this was, I found myself saying, you know, I am just burned out. You know, she's probably burned out. And at some point I was like, burned out? Wow, that is extreme. Like, I don't want to feel burned. And I'm not out. I'm still in the game. But right. You know, this race that I just ran, I'm not pulling out of the race. I think I've just completed it and I've used my energy for it. Mm. And time for me to take a breather and figure out where my next energy boost can take me, right? So part of it is like the words we use and wanting to be kind to myself and not even refer to myself as burned out, much less someone else. I kind of realized, you know, really, this is all about energy. I read a great article once, and it's when I was at Rackspace, actually, and I was starting to feel this kind of instinct about, you know, my energy is really low. Like, is there a way for me to mitigate this? Or is it something that's calling me to leave and take a pause? And I loved my job at Rackspace. It was filled with opportunity for impact, great community building. I did fail at it horribly in the first year. I read an article, and the article basically said, look, if you're feeling low on energy, start tracking what brings you energy and what depletes your energy. Write it down. Make a list for a few days, everything you did in the day. Rate it 1 to 5. Low energy is a 1, high energy is a 5. And one of the things I found is that my interactions with people where I could really be my authentic self and offer to be helpful and in turn ask for help, my energy went up. I'd walk away from a coffee at Ground Town, our fantastic little coffee shop at Rackspace, where I'd done a one-on-one with someone about a challenge for me at work, or a goal for that person about what they wanted to try to achieve, or even a negotiation over a new role or a compensation challenge, whatever it might be. And I'd walk away and my energy would be at a 5, right? So part of this is paying attention to myself and pausing long enough to listen and be aware of where I find energy and where my energy is depleted. And look, no job is perfect. Every job, every relationship, whether it's personal or professional, is going to have its highs and lows in terms of energy. But we want to err on the side of finding energy boosters instead of energy depleters.
I really love that.
Yeah, it was that exercise I did that really helped me be more intentional about it.
I love that, Mary. And I think, so, you know, I left my job recently at the end of October in 2022, and I've done a lot of kind of soul searching, like what led me to that depleted energy state or burnout. And I think it also, for me at least, in my experience, because I have had jobs where when I am, like when I go to work, I am being fed, like it is feeding my energy, and I am feeding into that organization and into my team. And, you know, it's just this cycle that is, you know, adding energy to me. And when I look back in my career, there were two different roles that I took, that in the end, and pretty quickly, felt depleted, like didn't make it the 10 years, you know, like you were able to, but very quickly, one of them didn't even last a full year. I was like, it's sucking the life out of me. It's not playing to my strengths. It's, you know, it's not building me up. I'm not able to pour into others because I'm being depleted. And then the other, I lasted longer than that, but it was the same feeling. And so in hindsight, as I look back at that, the reason I took those two jobs was a career advancement. It was putting success was defined for me by a title or a monetary amount. And I didn't listen to, you know, I didn't ensure that my strengths were going to be played to. So, yeah. And so it's a hard lesson for me, but I'm glad that I'm kind of starting to see it. And so when we talk about strengths, you and I both, and you mentioned it earlier, we've at Rackspace, it was at our core, it was our DNA, right? It was our common language, how we talked about strengths, how we knew how we could interact with others because we knew their top 5 strengths. So I'm curious, what are your top 5?
Yeah. So my number 1 is strategic, then learner, relator, achiever, and activator.
Ooh, I've got achiever, activator also, and relator.
Oh my gosh. I drove people crazy with some my strengths. I've also got talk about top 10. I've got command. I've got communication. I do have positivity, which I wish was number one because I feel positive all the time. But the thing is, sometimes those strengths, they're just so massively helpful to know and to know about other people with whom you work, right? But we know sometimes they can get dialed up too high.
Yeah.
And I love being an achiever because I just like to get stuff done.
Right.
I like to get stuff done. Like I like to cross it off the list and I will put it on the list if I already did it so I can have the satisfaction of crossing it off. Right. But a little story, when I joined Rackspace, I was a 30-year lawyer by then and really kind of thought I knew what I was doing. And, you know, I figured the company hired me for a reason. I was the first employment lawyer and litigation dispute resolution lawyer. So we had some patent litigation going on. We had some employment issues to be tackled. And I dove in. I mean, I dove in with all my energy and I started getting stuff done. And I alienated some people right away. And I didn't even see it. I was like, okay, they're not on board with this project that my boss has told me is a priority. I am going all in to get it done. And at the end of the year, this massive project was coming to a good conclusion. And my boss turned at me and said, good job on the project. However, you are breaking glass. And I was like, I don't think he's talking about the glass.
Is that a good thing?
It's like, I don't think that's what he's talking about. Like I'm already a vice president, general counsel, whatever. I'm breaking glass. He goes, yeah, you know, Rackspace is not for everyone. And I mean, my heart sank, my defense mechanisms went up. And he said, you know, you have to think about the long play. If you want to be here for the long play, you've got to go into these things together as a team, cross-functionally outside the legal department. You've got to collaborate. And I was thinking, oh, brother, someone's been telling him lies about me or misinterpreting things. Like he's got it all wrong. All I want to do is be an achiever, right? And I mean, on the other hand, I was devastated and I went home that night. I cried. No kidding. I was beside myself. I'd left a very high paying job to join this tech company that I was very excited about, but obviously I wasn't doing well and I might not be a fit. And so I was in denial. I was angry, but I was sad. And I finally had this for me as a person of faith. I had this moment with God where I was able to look in the mirror and be totally truthful with myself and ask myself if there was truth in what he said. And there is. Like I'm a bulldozer at times. I just want to dive in, push people aside and get the thing done faster. And by the way, I've got it figured out. I've been doing this for 30 years, right? And so pausing and listening is not one of my top strengths. Patience is not one of my top five. it's not one of the 22, but you get my point.
Yes.
Right. So I had this moment with myself where I was able to ask, what is my role in this? What is my role in this? And is there truth to this? Be honest with yourself, Mary. And I recognized it. It's who I am. My activator was dialed up too high. I did not understand the culture of my workplace. I didn't stop long enough to understand it. And I needed to pause, ask for help, and see if I could learn to be more successful using my strengths in this particular workplace. So I think my vulnerability and my willingness to show that I'm an imperfect, vulnerable person who still needs to learn every day of my life how to try to improve and be a better person helped me to have a very successful 11-year career at the company where I met with Rackers who helped me learn what it took to collaborate. It wasn't in my vocabulary as a lawyer. I was just top down. Here's the deal. So building a community of encouragers, building a community of helpers who were genuinely interested in my success and being comfortable relying on other people to help me and not be so self-reliant. All of those things really helped me to learn how to use my strengths and dial them back and dial them up at the right time.
That's amazing. And it sounds like that allowed you to have even more success. Once you realized that and looked in the mirror and had that awareness, you were able to move forward when you could have been, like you said in the beginning, angry or, you know, that's not me. He doesn't know me, you know? So that's great. I've had something similar where, you know, after leaving the organization that I left and thinking, you know, well, it's easy to think it's the organization's fault, but when you stop and look in the mirror and realize, you know, the decisions that I had made along the way that got me into that role and stopped what I believe being true to myself, you know? And so that's where I had to look in the mirror and say, this isn't about the organization. This is about me.
That is such a great point. I'd love to stay with it for just a second because, you know, we're such a work in progress, right? Like there's no magic wand that's going to help us be successful. There's no black and white advice that's going to work for everybody. It's about kind of testing and being open. So at one point I found out at one of my companies that they were very big on executive coaching for leaders. And it wasn't a remedial thing. It was like a high potential thing, right? And right. So I was seeing that these colleagues in other parts of the business were working with coaches. I'm like, what's that? Like, what's a coach? You know? And I decided, well, I'd like a coach. And I love that I'm a learner by nature because I'm really open to learning and trying new things. So to a point, right? So if someone tells me something, I'm like, wait a minute, really? So I had a coach. And the company agreed, absolutely, you want a coach? We're going to get you a coach. Like you, someone who can really help you step back and look more objectively at your areas of opportunity, a growth and development plan for me, other ways where I can improve and be more effective. So this coach, Jane, she was great. At one point, she had done the 360 and gotten feedback from my peers and my team and my boss and all the people who had good feedback. And she said, you know, there's a book I really want to suggest. It's called The Question Behind the Question, QBQ. It's a really quick book. I think you might like it. So, you know, check it out. And I was like, okay, great. You know, I like to read books, self-help books and improve. We met again 30 days later about my plan and what I was doing. And she said, hey, by the way, did you read that book? And I said, oh, you know, I haven't gotten it yet. She said, QBQ, the question behind the question. I think you'll really like it. It's a quick read. Okay. So I get the book and the book is The Question Behind the Question. And the tagline is something like how to stop blaming other people and take responsibility for your own success. And I was like, what? Like, why does she think I need this book? Again, it was a look in the mirror moment. Mm-hmm. It was like, wait a minute. I started reading the book and I realized that I was playing a huge blame game. Why doesn't the HR team bring the problem to legal sooner? You know, why doesn't the executive tell me sooner they need this agreement? I mean, really? Is this a fire drill that has to be done tonight? I mean, I was just blame instead of asking myself the question that my mom taught me to ask. What is my role in this? And that is the question behind the question.
Yes.
What's my role? What can I do about it? Because, you know, the Serenity Prayer, if anybody is familiar mm-hmm. with it, it's all about kind of knowing your limits, what we can impact and what we can't. Where we have an opportunity to contribute and where we have to just say, that is out of my ability to change that. Like I may have a bad boss. The question is there some way for me to adapt to work well with this type of boss.
Right.
So Jane really taught me a lot about looking in the mirror. I mean, even after being at that point a lawyer for 35 years, I have to look in the mirror and ask myself, Mary, slow down. What is my role in it? And how can I be better at bringing balance to this situation or empowering my team to be more balanced and well in this environment, for example?
That is so beautiful. I love that you said that. And I think it's a great segue too into the wellness piece of it, right? And finding the balance and especially as leaders for our teams and ensuring that not just we are, you know, our energy is being protected, but that we're helping our team to do that as well. And so are there, you know, in your career and how did you prioritize your wellness or whatever that looks like for you, your well-being?
Yeah, a couple things that come to mind. One is, you know, sometimes back to it being a work in progress, but sometimes I would find that I would really allow myself to go right to the brink of tears, or I would have tears. I would just be so overwhelmed and I would have taken on so much and not really thought about boundaries or limits on how much energy I could expend on something, right? And it reminds me of my closet. And I don't know if you have this, but every now and then I allow my closet to be completely packed with stuff, mm-hmm. things I don't wear, things that aren't organized. Like I don't have a perfectly spaced rack of things. I pile it on. And then one night, speaking of my closet, I heard this huge, huge crash. Someone was breaking into my house. And I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, what was that? What was that? Sounded like it came from my closet. Like, what happened? Got up. I slowly opened the closet door and my rack of clothes that had become too packed and overwhelmed with weight had crashed onto the floor of the closet. All my boxes that were stuffed on the shelves, all my clothes, everything was like, I couldn't even open the door. In my life, I allow things to pile up and pile up, and I take on more and I take on more. And I get to that brink where I think, you know what? I have got to reset. I'm not working out as much. I'm eating too many white, refined carbs. I need more water. The next day I had to take everything out of my closet and take stock.
What a great analogy. Really, yes.
What do I need? What can I let go of? What can I say, I wish I could keep this, but I can't fit into a size 6. I'm a size 12, maybe a 14 every now and then. It's real, right? So with my work or even personal relationships, it's really hard for me to say no. But I read another great article. And by the way, you know, nothing's original, right? We're all learning from each other.
That's right. That's right.
Right? I read this great article about saying no. And like, I really have a hard time saying no. And one of the things that I'll remember forever is that there are ways to say no that work better for me. And one of those ways is to say, I wish I could.
I like that.
I wish I could. With authenticity. Mm-hmm. I really do wish I could, because what it says is I can't. The answer is no. But to me, it's a kinder, gentler way for me to say it. It feels better to me. And I'm being just more respectful of how I need to draw the line and how I need to say things with wholeheartedness, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And so now with my closet, this morning I thought of it because I walked in there and I thought, uh-oh, hello. Every now and then you have to take stock. You have to kind of clear out the things that we can let go of to make way, to be able to open that door to something that's a little bit more balanced and feels more spacious and allows for new ideas and new thoughts.
What a beautiful analogy, Mary. I love it.
It's the closet. Does everybody have the crowded closet, or am I alone?
No, I do. I do, unfortunately. And this is a great reminder. I need to go clean it out. Well, Mary, this has been just so wonderful. I really, really appreciate you taking the time. And I'm so glad that we connected on this, and you were the perfect person to have on. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy. This has brought me energy. It's a 5 on that list. And I thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a real joy.
Thank you. What a great discussion. Okay, here is my recap with Mary. I've got some really good nuggets for us. Number one, the hamster wheel is not plugged in with someone else at the controls. You can control how fast you run or when you decide to take a break. Number two, pivots can be important steps along our journey to repace ourselves. Number three, quid pro quo, something for something. Helping others can be a quid pro quo. Number four, try your best to build a financial safety net so that you're prepared if you need to get off the hamster wheel and take a breather. Number five, success is finding the right role, the team, and the community that allows us to be helpful and bring out our best energy. Number six, energy depletion equals burnout. Number seven, be kind to yourself with your words. Number eight, keep an energy journal. Log what gives you energy and what depletes your energy. Do more things that give you energy. Number nine, ask, what is my role in this? Be truthful with yourself. Be willing to show imperfection and be more vulnerable. Be comfortable asking for help. Number 10, don't let too much accumulate in your closet. Take inventory and clean it out when it gets to be too much. Do the same thing with your life. Number 11, know your limits. Instead of saying no, try saying, I wish I could. That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening to our inaugural episode of Authentic Energy. I hope you enjoyed it. There are a lot more episodes to come on Friday mornings. So go in and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all of them. Just pick one, subscribe so that you can get these updates each week. Thank you so much for listening.